A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and salutations in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like graves which are not seen, and men walk over them without knowing it." One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, in saying this you reproach us also." And he said, "Woe to you, lawyers also, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The shocking thing about Jesus' diatribe against the Pharisees is that he is saying all this in the house of a Pharisee who has invited him to dinner. Jesus is being unbelievably rude. A guest who insults not just his host, but as the scribe points out, all the other guests too. As we heard it yesterday, it seems like Jesus was setting out to make trouble. He goes in and sits down at the table without the customary ablutions. And when his host suggests he might want to wash, Jesus launches into his tirade. Surely he must have expected his behaviour would raise eyebrows. Well, this is characteristically prophetic behaviour. Jesus is behaving controversially on purpose, so as to elicit a reaction, which in turn gives him occasion to make a point about the hypocrisy and corruption of his company. But there's more to it than that. Jesus' contravention of etiquette is itself a sign. Time and again in the Gospels, Jesus contravenes the ordinary rules of table fellowship. He eats with tax collectors and sinners. He fearlessly approaches the unclean, whether they be lepers or corpses, without worrying to purify himself afterward. By refusing to wash before this meal, Jesus is making a point about the kind of man he is, one who, in the eyes of his hosts, courts sinful company and invites impurity. He is then laying down the gauntlet. Are you really prepared to dine with a man like me? Are you really willing to associate with one who so freely associates with the unclean? Of course, the point of Jesus' behaviour is precisely that he has no need to fear sin or uncleanness. He's able to forgive sins. He has power to cleanse away leprosy. He has power even to raise the dead. And this is presumably the contrast Jesus is pointing to when he criticizes the scribes for their inability to remove people's burdens. Again, to Jesus, prominent seats and obsequious greetings couldn't really matter. He is so utterly confident of the Father's love, he doesn't require this human approbation. Despite the bad press they get in the Gospels, the Pharisees seem to have been, for the most part, good and devout people. They were probably the most decent people you could meet in Judea at the time. They genuinely aspired to holiness, and they did tend to the poor as well as to their ablutions. Their desire was to replicate something of the holiness of the temple in the sphere of ordinary life. The trouble of that model was that it represented the holiness of God as something fundamentally apart. The temple was based on strict demarcation of space and personnel, on hierarchy and on coded conduct. This was holy, that was profane. This was clean, that unclean. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, inaugurated a radically different kind of holiness. For in Jesus, in the incarnation, God was totally involved with everything it was to be human, clean or unclean. He was involved in the blood, sweat, toil and tears. He was involved in the messiness of birth, the embarrassing biology of digestion, defecation, and in the end, he was involved in death. In Jesus, God was rudely interrupting cherished notions of holiness and right. Ironically, Jesus was at the same time provoking the Pharisees to push this new understanding of holiness to its furthest and most disturbing conclusion. His rudeness on this occasion marks a turning point in Luke's gospel. This is when the scribes and Pharisees begin seriously conspiring to persecute Jesus, looking to trap him on the wrong side of a question that might see him killed. Jesus is setting himself on the path to rejection. Only when the living God is dead do we realize that really nothing falls outside the reach of his love and life-giving power. Like Jesus, we have nothing to fear.